Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We're very glad that you're here with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Let me assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. And speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel, who is at my right and your left, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the public hearing scheduled before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. These proceedings are being broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. There is a 30-second delay between what occurs live in this room and what is broadcast on the internet. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present and everyone participating virtually is invited to stay throughout the commission's meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. Everyone in attendance or participating virtually must conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not distract from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. For those of us here in this room, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and then the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission, and the applicant may present any exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. For testimony from people here in this room, supporters will go first, followed by opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves so that they can speak first. We will start with folks present in this room, and then we will ask to hear from people participating remotely through the call-in number. Because, again, there is a 30-second delay, we will pause the hearing to allow the internet broadcast to catch up if there are any people watching online and wanting to participate by phone. For those of you here on the premises who wish to speak, we ask that you come to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We just need the name and place of residence for anyone speaking on the phone. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone when that testimony is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. Excuse me. No direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias or stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into account by Sussex County in its deliberations. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, we thank you. Our first public hearing is subdivision 2021-30, Independence, phase 13.
This is a cluster subdivision to divide 19.27 acres plus or minus into three separate parcels and into 37 single-family lots. To be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, the property is lying on the north side of Harmons Hill Road, which is Sussex County Route 302, approximately 0.48 miles southeast of the intersection of Zoll Road, which is Sussex County Route 48, Hollyville Road, which is Sussex County Route 290, and Harmons Hill Road, and is accessed from within the Abigail Adams Drive within the Independence subdivision. The tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 16, Parcel 7.01, 7.07, and 7.08. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District, and submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet. We have a copy of the staff review letter, a copy of the applicant's response to the staff review letter. We have a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan. We have a copy of the previous approvals for the site and the notice of decision for these. We have a copy of the TAC review comments, including a letter from County Engineering, a letter from the Department of Agriculture, a letter from the Division of Health, a letter from the Office of the State Fire Marshal. I would note we received one comment letter and seven mail returns. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Chair recognizes Fuquay.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm the attorney representing the applicant, Sussex Group Partners, LLC. With me are Tom Tipton and Ben Gordy on behalf of the applicant, and Ring Lardner from Davis Bone and Friedel. Jamie stated, there was an exhibit book submitted for the record containing information about the application, including the Section 999C report and an environmental assessment and public facilities report. This is an application for a subdivision approval of a 19.3-acre parcel of land located on the north side of Harmon's Hill Road for a 36-lot single-family lot subdivision. It will be a cluster subdivision. The original application was for 37 lots, but the site has been revised to 36 lots. The parcel is located next to the existing Independence development, and this addition will be part of that development, subject to all the rules and regulations of Independence. So it's being called Phase 13 of Independence. The Independence subdivision actually has frontage and entrances on both Route 5 and also on Harmon's Hill Road. Independence contains 332.7 acres. It was approved as a 455 single-family lot cluster subdivision with extensive recreational amenities and open space back in January of 2005. To the best of my knowledge, the original AR1 cluster option was created by an amendment to the zoning ordinance in August of 2004. And Independence, which at the time was originally called Indigo Run, was one of the first, if not the first, AR1 cluster subdivisions that was reviewed and approved. Of the 455 lots in Independence, all but four of them have homes constructed on them and have been sold, and the remaining four lots have homes under construction. The 193-acre parcel before you tonight was not part of the original Independence development site plan. The 19.3-acre parcel was listed for sale, and the applicant, after discussions with the Independence Homeowners Association, determined that it was appropriate and in the best interest of all the people involved to purchase the property and to develop it as Phase 13 of Independence, rather than have it developed by a third party as a separate subdivision that would be adjacent to Independence that could possibly be inconsistent with the design and high quality of the Independence community. The proposed 36-lot addition will utilize the two existing entrances to Independence, so there's no new entrance being proposed. There'll be no new access to a state road, just the ones that have already approved for Independence. The only change actually to the existing Independence site plan is an internal street connecting from Abigail Adams Drive to this additional part of land that goes across a very small portion of open space between lots 274 and 275, and that has been agreed to by the HOA. There will be extensive landscaping provided to minimize any impacts on adjacent and nearby properties, both outside of the development and internally within the Independence development, and Ring will explain that when he reviews the site plan with you. Phase 13 would contain 36 lots, which on the land of Phase 13 is a density of 1.86 lots per acre, well under the 2 lots per acre provision. The overall density of Independence with the addition of Phase 13 would only increase the density from 1.37 lots per acre to 1.39 lots per acre. Again, well under the 2 lots permitted. The existing utilities of the development would be extended to serve Phase 13, and that involves Artesian Water Company, Artesian Wastewater Management, Sharp Energy, and Delaware Electric Co-op. Stormwater management will meet or exceed DENREC requirements. There are no federal or state wetlands on the 19.3-acre site. The parcel is not in a flood zone. There are no archaeological sites or historic sites associated with the property. The site is not in an excellent groundwater recharge area or wellhead protection area. The streets in Phase 13 will be private, Basically, they will be part of the Independence community, part of their common elements. The site is in the fire service area, the Millsboro Fire Company, and the applicant will be responsible for any entrance modifications or roadway improvements that DelDOT may require because of the increase in the number of lots. As I said, phase 13 will be part of the Independence subdivision. Our residents will be members of the Independence HOA. They'll be subject to all the benefits of the development, including access to the recreational facilities, and they'll also be responsible for the obligations, same as other residents, including initial assessments and periodic assessments of homeownership. So with that, I'll have Ring review the phase 13 site plan.
Thanks, Mr. Fuqua. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. Ring Lardner with Davis Bonafidel, a principal and professional engineer. As described by Mr. Fuqua, we're proposing an access off of Abigail Adams Road through some open space. The developer is proposing enhanced landscaping in this area as a screen for the existing lots in this location. The buffer that was previously there for the parcel remained intact, so that lot line, the lots aren't getting any closer than what that lot line is, so the buffer will still be there. As part of that separation, there'll be no lots back to back. As the road comes in the community, it will be curbed and guttered with sidewalks on one side of the road here, and then come down into a typical cul-de-sac, down this way into an alternative cul-de-sac in the T-shape, same with this direction here. All three of those cul-de-sacs are allowed per Suss County standards and the fire marshal, just different ways to provide fire protection and turnaround abilities. Within the open space here in the middle, where the developer is proposing a pathway, material still yet to be determined, having heard the conversation earlier in a previous application, but there will be a pathway through that open space, along with some benches, just to allow residents some passive use. Stormwater management will be per DENREC standards and regulations. It is located here because that is the low spot of the site, so that we can try to maintain the grades as feasible as possible. There will be a 20-foot landscape buffer here along these lots, 30-foot landscape buffer on this side as well as this side, and that generally describes the site plan this evening.
Mr. Lardner, just can you again just describe where the 20 and the 30 feet were?
Sure. The 20-foot is along this proposed lot here up to the end of this cul-de-sac.
Okay.
Mr. Robinson, and then it's 30-foot the rest of this parcel, and then this side is 30 foot the entire way.
Okay.
And then it's 20 foot around the inside, correct?
And 20 foot inside, correct.
No, I mean around the, yeah. Around Michelle.
Oh, yeah. Around this piece here, yeah. Yep.
That's 20 right there.
Yes, 20 foot.
Okay.
And that's the code?
Yeah. No, this is for my notes.
Yes, sir, understood.
I want to make sure that I have that right. Thanks.
And I do have some proposed conditions. Let me just mention condition. I have conditions A through H. Conditions A and B limit phase 13 to 36 single-family lots. They provide that phase 13 will be an addition to and part of Independence, subject to the original conditions of approval. And conditions C through H are actually just some of the more standard conditions that the commission has been placing on other subdivisions recently. And that would conclude our presentation, other than any questions you may have.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. We'll start with Ms. Holly Stevenson.
I didn't until I saw an email from somebody, I'm assuming who lives in Independence, and they were wondering if all construction traffic could come in via a temporary access road off of Harmon Hill Road, and that all Construction material, concrete cleanouts, and debris be kept within Phase 13 and not transported through the current development. And basically, it's just saying, can you just not drive through the development to do this?
Yeah, and this was an issue that was discussed with the HOA, with the developer, and basically it's the developer's intent to seek from DelDOT a construction entrance from Harmon Hill Road. So everything would be within the Phase 13 property. However, DelDOT has to grant that construction entrance. If DelDOT, for some reason, wouldn't grant it, I doubt that that would be the case because Harmon Hill Road is not a highly traveled road. But if they had to use the internal road system, the developer would be responsible and has agreed for any repairs, maintenance, any things that are caused by any of the construction.
I would certainly hope, ladies and gentlemen, here. Now look, you're all going to get your chance to speak, okay? Not now. Okay. I would certainly hope that our friends at DelDOT would be sensitive to the safety issue here and let these, if this gets approved, let them have some type of access, even if they have to go through one of their own lots to do it, to get the traffic out of that development. That construction traffic should not be in that development.
Yeah, and I don't mean to imply that there's any intent.
Come on, guys.
I don't mean to imply there's any intent of the developer to come through Independence. It's just that we don't have the right to have a construction entrance until DelDOT approves it.
And believe me, the folks sitting up here get that because we deal with this all the time. We can't make DelDOT do anything, but we can sure ask them and prevail upon them, and all of these people can ask them and prevail upon
but
them.
But again, I just want to emphasize that is the intent of the developer, and we'll do everything possible to have some type of entrance.
Well,
from Harmon Hill Road.
I would think that would be easier on you all around.
Well, we agree. I'm being too lawyer-like in saying I don't want to say we're going to do that until DelDOT says we're going to do it.
And then just for because it's written in here, it says all existing drainage issues within the current development be corrected before the end of summer 2022. We don't have any, just so you know. I can only look at this development. I can't say fix something that's somewhere else. Otherwise, I'd have the hand of God on me, and trust me, it would happen. But anyway, this is what we're looking at, so I can only address drainage in this piece, and that's it. That's all.
Okay, Mr. Hopkins.
No questions.
All right, Mr. Mears.
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
No for me, thank you.
Counsel.
None for me at this point.
Okay, I have no questions at this time. That was the one thing I was concerned about, the entrance issue.
I guess the only thing I would say is those cars move very fast down Harmon Hill, coming around that corner. And Mr. Lardner, how far is it from that from the edge of the property on the left-hand side, with that west-hand side, to that last lot? If you were to put a construction entrance in on that on the lot furthest to the right, that's what you guys were talking about when I was out, right? If they can have a construction entrance. Not to drive through the development.
Right. Yeah. Mr. I don't have the dimensions in front of me. We would look to have the entrance here at these two lots because the storm management would have to be installed up front to meet the regulations. So the construction entrance would be for these two lots. And it's far enough away from the curb, it's far enough away from the existing entrance that I think DelDOT from an entrance standpoint would
that's cool.
Find out again. At the end of the day, we can't guarantee, but we are going to apply for that entrance.
That's probably far enough away they come around that corner and see what's going on.
Yep. Right.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let's see if anyone here has an interest in your application. I suspect there might be one or two.
Yeah.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2021-30 Independence Phase 13? Yes, sir. In favor?
Yes.
Okay.
My name is Richard Muti, M-U-T-I. Mm-hmm. I live at 29167 Abigail Adams Drive in Millsboro. That's within the Independence community.
Yes, sir.
And I'm speaking in qualified support of this application, provided that the commission impose three conditions upon the applicant should it give its approval.
Okay.
Many aspects of our community are unfinished and a mess, quite frankly. There is a large dump area off Andrew Jackson. I took photographs of it yesterday on my phone. I can show the commission a photograph, one photograph, just so you get an idea of what this dump area looks like within the residential area of our community. May I have permission to do that?
Well, the problem with that is that we can't enter your cell phone into the record unless you're willing to give us your cell phone. So we can't really do that.
May I submit a hard copy photo of it?
If you've got one with you.
I don't have it with me. May I submit it after the hearing?
Can you email it?
Yeah. Can you?
By email?
Is there a 12-year-old somewhere that could help you email it? If somebody could just email us the picture now,
I'll see if someone can do that.
We have staff that can help.
So,
12-year-old here.
I'll see if someone can do that after I'm finished speaking, if that's okay.
You can email that to Mr. Whitehouse.
In addition to this dump area, there is a severe erosion problem to the inlet to Stormwater Pond 4 that has been there for 8 years. There are other drainage issues and other unfinished erosion areas that need attention. So the first condition that I would ask the commission to impose on the applicant is that the applicant must complete all remediations and improvements, including final paving of roads to the standards of the Sussex County Public Works Department and the Sussex Conservation District before it begins construction in the new area. This, by the way, would not be any added cost to the developer because they're required to do it anyway. I'm just asking for that condition so that there are no further delays. Witness the 8-year delay in getting an erosion problem taken care of, just so that there are no further delays in finishing the existing community before they start a 37-lot addition. The second point, many of our residents, all of our residents, are retirees. Many of us are former military, former teachers, former public workers. I know you're interested in public workers and having them have adequate housing. We came here for peace and quiet, and we love it here. We love our community. We think that our developer has done a good job. But we don't want to suffer another 3 years of construction vehicles lumbering up and down our road to get to this new area. 3 years may not sound like a lot of time, but for someone my age, that could be one-third of my remaining life that I do not want to live under that cacophony of sounds and noise and dirt and dust driving past my property every day. I know the developer has said that they're going to make an application for a construction road. I'm surprised that they didn't put the proposed construction road on their site plan. I would ask that the commission, not as a condition of approval, not just require the developer to make application to Delaware DOT, but to require that they get approval. This development stands to make them millions in extra money without any requirement to add any extra amenities or anything else. So if they are required to get approval for that construction road, I think their due diligence may increase exponentially if they know that their profits from this development are based on that construction road. So I want them to pull out all of the stops. And I don't want them to address that issue cavalierly for the benefit of our residents. The third condition that I ask you to impose is that they should not open that connecting street to the existing Abigail Adams Drive until a substantial portion of the homes in the new addition are occupied. I don't know what that proportion should be, 50%, 60%, but I don't want to give contractors an excuse to use the existing rows instead of the construction entrance. Those are my requests to the board, and I thank you for your attention.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, hey. Were you listening when Mr. Robertson read the rules? Does anybody remember the one about no applause? Did you all hear that? Are you hearing it now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Who's next? In favor. Anybody else want to speak in favor? Okay. All right, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2021-30? All right, sir, come on up, give us your name, you may have the floor. Then we'll take one from this side.
Hi, my name is Harvey Johnson, and I live at 29157 Abigail Adams Drive in Millsboro, Independence. I'm lot 272, and you mentioned that this new break in Abigail Adams occurs at lot 274. So much like Richard and others who are behind me, we're going to be directly affected by this new break in Abigail Adams. It came as a bit of a surprise to us. We thought we were living on more of a quiet street of Abigail Adams, and only now to find that for every vehicle, every occupant that needs to get into this new annex, they'll all drive right by our house for the most part. And so it is a little bit disconcerting that even after the period of time of which the developer should have asked for an amendment to the declaration, that they come at a late time and surprise most of the homeowners. I could say first that I would echo almost everything that Richard said. Before I do that, let me just say thank you for the hearing. This is the first time my wife and I have attended a zoning hearing, and we've lived all around the country in our Coast Guard service. So it's great to see the process work. And I've seen a lot of your names in the Gazette, so now it's a chance to see a face to a name and understand how the process works. So that could be good, bad, or indifferent.
They love me there. That's my fan club.
Yeah. But thank you for having the open hearing and providing the opportunity for us to offer our comments. And I think I could say, again, much the same conditions, is to ask you to place these conditions. Why would I ask you that? It says you heard sort of the applause and the guffaws that violated the guidance we got from Mr. Robertson, but it indicates a degree of relationship and trust and confidence between the residents of the community and the developer. I honestly think that the developer pays no heed to a comment from a homeowner or a group of homeowners. And even though he indicated that the HOA agreed with different elements of the proposal, to be truthful, I think the HOA, through all of their best efforts to try to get the developer to comply with their own requirements, much as Richard said, it's 8 years of known deficiencies in stormwater treatment, still not done, and they probably wouldn't do it until the very last hour, and the concern of residents is now with a new annex that would give them a new 2-year period to continue to obfuscate, delay, and defer doing things that need to be done in the community. For example, in some of our streets, the sidewalks run in front of the house, but where it needs to be finished in a common area between that house and the corner, those sidewalks aren't done. Streets that obviously have some deficiencies, a pothole, for example. It's an argument, is Shell responsible to fill the pothole that caused damage to a truck, or is it the developer? And Shell and the developer can't figure out, even though they have different names. I heard Sussex is a name today. It's the first time I heard that name. And so between the developer and the home builder, they can't figure out who should spend $400 to fill a pothole that everyone passes by. And that's just one graphic example of the types of things that we see. In my home, I have water behind my house. We use the term swale. Swale has so many meanings. The builder Shell addresses some of the swale issues on the side of my house, but behind my house is the developer. And do you think the developer, left hand, could talk to the home builder, right hand, and get together and solve one swale issue? Of course not. And so we sit like a tennis match and watch these two that are related corporately argue back and forth over whether they should fix a $400 pothole or not. I think eventually the HOA in the past week paid the $400 and filled the pothole. It's that kind of thing that goes on constantly, whether it's this construction road, little confidence about how hard they'll try. In terms of, I heard the term today, enhanced landscaping and a 30-foot buffer. I guarantee you that your definition of enhanced landscaping, mine and theirs, is two different things. So I would ask a fourth condition. When it gets to this 30-foot buffer, is that an open field of just grass or weeds? Or is that buffer supposed to have a couple lonely trees in between?
There's actually a really specified tree density and planting requirement in the code for those buffers. So there is, and it talks about how many trees and what types of trees have to be planted every 100 feet. So
well, they planted it's a pine tree and another tree along one line, and I didn't see them wipe the line between, if I may, in these lines behind these people's homes, who are going now at their own expense to East Coast and buying trees to create their own buffer, because they're not sure that this includes a tree buffer. It looks like it when you see the picture. The diagram looks really good. But what is that buffer by definition? What do these homeowners have as assurance?
That would be a 20-foot perimeter buffer at that point.
Landscape.
Landscape.
No, there should be one here now.
Yeah. On the interior side, side.
Right. There should be one there now.
Well, I guarantee you that if you come by, drive by, you know the area. You've been down Harmon's Hill and see how many trees are in that 20-foot buffer. You won't need very many digits to count. I guarantee you can do it, and you don't need a 12-year-old. You can figure it out. There are some trees that are right now adjacent to a couple houses. We're not even sure whether it's probably maybe a 2-foot diameter pine tree. I don't know if that's going to exist or they're going to cut that darn thing down. And so enhanced landscaping, I don't quite know what that's going to mean. It'll be a surprise to all of us when that's installed and we all agree that it's enhanced. So I just wanted to, again, thank you for the hearing. Give you some sense of asking you for your support, because you're the only ones that can provide these conditions. You're the only ones that can really hold the developer's feet to the fire to do the things that we would like to be done. Even though we voice them, it'll only happen by your action. And so I just implore you to look at those issues, the three issues that Richard raised. If you think that the buffer is adequately defined, and we'll see that, that'll be great. I noticed the developer handed you some list of conditions. I don't know what those are. So if those become part of the public record.
There you go.
Oh, thank
you. You can have that one.
It'd be good to see what these conditions are so that we know a little bit more about what's going to go on. For me, less than 100 yards from my front door. So I would like to know about some of those.
They are proposed conditions. They won't be conditions until we say they are, but this is what the applicant is proposing.
Well, good. Well, they go A to H, and so we're talking about maybe, you know, JKL maybe?
Well, and also one of the things that we have to look at, because they've talked about incorporating by reference the existing independence conditions, so we'll also take a look at those to make sure that those are appropriate or they don't need to be enhanced as well.
Okay. So, yeah. And again, the open question, there's probably an answer you may know and I just don't know, but whether or not approval of this annex, and I'm not opposing the annex, whether that approval extends then their commitment to when they have to have
it. Wouldn't, and I was going to, I'll touch on that. So this is an entirely separate, in terms of how the county manages things, this is an entirely separate subdivision. So let's start with independence, the existing development first. That has phases within it. And each one of those phases is bonded by the county. So like the roads are bonded, it's an older development, but the phases are probably new enough. There's stormwater management bonds either held through the county or Sussex Conservation District. And so some of the issues you're talking about are still under construction and under the county's inspection and authority and review, and there's bonds being held for it. So if they don't, by a certain time, complete that work, the county's either going to say you got to complete it or they're going to call the bond. I mean, obviously It's everybody's interest to get the work done.
Yeah.
We've had to do that. Mr. Medlars, the county engineer, has been really good at getting on top of that. Now, you have to understand that there's a progression of that. We don't want to put top coat on roads when there's still construction vehicles going through it, because it'll tear it up and you'd have to redo it all. But that all is under its own umbrella. And so if this gets approved, that doesn't extend any of those deadlines, that work, or anything else. It doesn't buy them more time, which is what I think you've asked and somebody else has as well.
Right.
This one, then, would be its own entity, which would have its, if it's approved, have its own bonding, have its own inspections. It would be, you know, although it's integrated into independence from the county's authority and jurisdiction and review and inspections and bonding, it would be its own complete standalone development. So, you know, if they don't complete this one, they'd call the bonds on this one, but that will have no bearing on what goes on in independence.
Good. Okay. Well, that's very helpful.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I appreciate that definition.
Yeah. No. And it may be that each of I don't know where the phase lines are in independence with regard to the specific topics you've talked about, but, you know, there are certainly bonds for all those, and there's certainly county inspectors out there, and I think based on what we've heard, somebody will be talking to Mr. Medlars to send out some inspectors just to see what's going on and what the status of things are. So,
that'd be great. Yeah. And if there's some way that we can get some sense for what the result of that discussions are, I know that it'll take some time to do it, but it would be great to get a sense that there really is that attention to it and that, in fact, those would happen.
Yeah.
But what I take, just one more question on that, I might say from my perspective, can all those issues with those bonds be resolved before they start construction of the new annex, or will they run concurrent? Do you have a thought on that?
Usually they run concurrent because they are different.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so. But I don't want to answer that with certainty, because a lot of that's going to depend on the fact, too, that this is connecting into the existing independence. So there is some notion that, you know, if you're going to connect into something, what you're connecting into ought to have some level of completion as well. So, you know, but I just need more detail on that on our side.
And I agree. And I think that's the key that Richard asked about the roads and the paving. Is to, if you open up Abigail Adams and that becomes part of the traffic pattern, then how long will it take before Abigail Adams is actually final top coat paving?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been an issue. We knew that that would go on for some while in construction, no problem with that, but now, you know, what this might do to impact that.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they would delay the top coat paving because of something going on in another development. I think they're going to they'll be required to do that at the appropriate time in your development based on what's happening in your development. So I think we'll be okay with that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Where you go, Mr. Johnson? I got a question for you, because you said what is your concern about the traffic going near your lot?
Well, when we bought on Abigail Adams, which is less than 2 years ago, what we were told is that that's a whole street there. We had no sense that there was going to be a new annex.
Right.
Now with that break in the road, again, I'm at 272, the break is at 274, every FedEx, UPS, you know, following you when you buy a new home, you got all these contracts come in and do your portion.
You just worry about more traffic. So I didn't know.
At the end of the line, now you're not.
Okay.
Right.
That's
we thought we would sayonara to all of this traffic, and now we find this break in the road creates now a more constant flow of traffic just to support those new people, and so all that traffic goes by when, you know, that was not expected. So it's
I was just going to say, I mean, I can't do anything about stopping traffic. Trust me. If it was a lights shining in your living room type thing, then I could.
No, I think I think they're right on the site plan. But if with enhanced landscaping and with all these trees there, then I don't know whether that would be an issue.
Then you'll be taken care of. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Over here, this side. Who wants to speak? Once, twice, nobody. This is your last chance. Anybody over here want on this side? Come on. Yeah. That's how this works. If you don't volunteer, okay, then.
Yeah.
There we go.
Good evening. My name's Mike Crean. I also live on Abigail Adams Drive. Mm-hmm. And I agree with what everyone said here. The only concern that I have, in addition to what they brought up, if they hadn't brought it up, I missed it, is that they should have the construction dump for the new site in the new subdivision and not where they have the old one.
We don't want, that thing's been an eyesore forever.
Right.
And if they continue to use that, they'll be going on Abigail Adams Drive, they'll be going Andrew Jackson's Drive, they're going to go on Patrick Henry Drive, they're going to be throughout the entire community. It's just nasty.
I think that can be accommodated.
Thank you. That's all I have.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Back on this side. Yes, ma'am, right here in the peach color. Okay.
My name is Pat Nucatola. I'm at 29506 Patrick Henry Circle. My street is part of what they have deemed Phase 8.
Okay.
Phase 8 also includes the traffic circle, Thomas Jefferson, and the current entrance on Harmon Hill. I've been living there almost 4 years. Up until recently, yes, all the construction vehicles zooming down our street. We have been told that our top coating could not be done because of the fact that our street and the traffic circle and the rear entrance to Harmon Hill is all Phase 8. If you do not require a separate construction entrance where they're going to continue to use the existing Harmon Hill, traffic circle, how many more years before our street gets paved? We were told by Hans Messler at the County Works, Public Works, that the developer does have the option to do just our street up to the stop sign before the traffic circle, leave the traffic circle for the existing, and this has been going on for quite a few months now, but they would just have to keep the existing bond in place until that was done. Up until now, I've been told that they cannot or will not do that. So if you do not require a separate construction entrance, I might be living there 6, 7, 8 years before my street is top coated. That's all I have to say. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Back over on this side. Anybody else over here? This is the quiet side tonight. Okay. Back on this side. Okay. Somebody, whoever wants to come. Sure. You're the closest. You win.
My name is Bill Thompson. I live on Patrick Henry. I've been a resident for about a year, a little less than a year. I too am very concerned about the absence of a separate external construction entrance.
Right.
And I simply want to echo that, and somehow approval for this should be conditioned upon that in place, as opposed to we're going to study it or we're going to see if we can, but I think it ought to be approved and in place before any further construction or whatever would get underway.
Right.
Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Rita Rose. I'm 78. I live at 29146 Abigail Adams. Some of us on Abigail Adams paid premiums for our lots because we were told that there would be no construction and no houses across from us. Now, if you wonder why we have little confidence in Shell and Ocean Atlantic and Sussex and any other name they come up with, it's because now we find out that the premiums that we pay from $10,000 to $27,000 extra is being ignored. And they knew at the time we bought our houses that they planned to buy that property and add more houses. And they planned to amend a contract in order to do it that was supposedly not able to be amended. So if you're wondering why so many of us have so little confidence in those companies, it's because they don't care to listen to us, and honestly, they don't care about us in the way they do things. They have lied to us already. So, and waiting years and years, for me, I don't know how many there'll be, but waiting years and years and years to see things done and then having them break whatever promises, their promises, I'm sorry, it's just unacceptable. And I'll stop. It's enough. It's horrible. This was supposed to be peaceful, wonderful, quiet, safe community, and it's not going to be that. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Okay, who's next? Okay, come on up.
Good evening. I'm Joe Adamczyk, A-D-A-M-C-Z-Y-K. I'm used to spelling it.
I was going
to
say, you've had this asked before.
I live at 29141 Abigail Adams Drive in Independence. When we bought our lot 275, we bought it specifically again because of the location, fully understanding that the property lines are property lines and something could happen, but I did not buy what I thought was what I have come to find out is a corner lot now, if this annex goes through. If you look at, I'm right on the right-hand side of the proposed entrance from inside Independence.
Okay.
So I will take a whole lot of time. I want to reinforce what Mr. Multi said, what Mr. Johnson and the others said. I want to emphasize what Mr. Robertson stated, that this is a separate entity. It's its own entity, and as such, if I understand that correctly, it would be required to have its own concrete washout site. It would be required to have its own dump site and not use the ones that are currently there. And I would emphasize the concrete washout site, which is the intended purpose, has become a dump. It has become a health and safety hazard in my estimation. We've had residents even purport that there are rodents in the area. I've never seen them, but they purport to have seen them. It's replete with silt fencing, wire rolls, concrete culverts, everything but just a concrete washout site, and it grows larger every day. So again, just to emphasize, if it is its own entity, I would urge the commission to require a separate construction entrance, a separate dump site, and also remediation and completion of all the things you've heard before this new construction phase takes place. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Good question. Okay, yes, sir. On this side, somebody came alive.
Hi, I'm John Black. I'm at 21950 Abigail Adams. And I do have something that I brought to show you, which I'll give you.
This shows that
this is the development plan that we were given when we purchased our property.
Okay.
There's a little arrow down the bottom showing where we are, which is right at that corner of the new development road. And we bought that with the specific idea that there would not be anything over there as far as a road goes. Whether someone could build on that other spot, that's a different story. But it shows on there the proposed. There's nothing proposed over there for that type of development. So just to explode the proposal that's being made here, I'd propose that that entranceway that's going to be for construction be the main entranceway, period, and then not be something that comes onto Abigail Adams. If it's going to be a separate entity in some degree, I don't know why that can't be done also.
Was this something that was discussed with your homeowners association? Is this the first?
I don't know whether what they may have said that they would do or accept, but doesn't mean that we accept it.
Has the homeowners association been actually turned over to the homeowners at this point?
Yes.
Okay. So you have an association and you have officers and
yes. Correct.
Okay. Is there anyone, just a question, is there anyone here speaking on behalf of the HOA tonight?
Just curious. Okay. Just curious. Okay. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to bring that up as a little additional thing, and I brought you some evidence, if you want to call it that, showing what we were told, as was stated before, that there was not going to be anything else there. And the trees that they have put in this area here, I saw them put those in. I mean, if that's a buffer, I'll be 100 years old by the time those trees buffer anything. They're skinny, spread out little things, and that's nothing. So I wanted to present that and right. suggest that as an option that a lot of us also would like to see.
All right. Well, it's in the record.
Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. Okay. Who's next?
Hi. I'm Judy Medeiros. I live on Patrick Henry Circle with my sister, 29604. When we moved in, we were under the impression that we were the end of the subdivision for Indy. We were told there was one more stretch that they were going to build out. We had no idea at the time that it would be as extensive as it already is. But as the gentleman said himself, this new subdivision was not originally part of the Indy plan. And I'm concerned about our amenities already being taxed to the hilt as it is, and feel that this new subdivision shouldn't be a part of Indy and should have their own set of amenities. I'm also worried in general about the overdevelopment of Sussex. We seem to be losing our green space and agriculture right and left, and now here we are losing another farm. So I'm basically opposed to the whole subdivision.
Okay.
So that's it.
All right, thank you. Okay, who's next? Either side, anywhere. Anyone else like to speak? All right. No, you've already been up
there. One trip per customer.
You weren't listening to the rules. Sit down. Okay. Rules are one trip to a customer. I believe Mr. Robertson went over that. You guys were not paying attention, I can tell.
I'll tell you what, though, he did do a good job.
I know. Yeah. I know. He does. But, you know. Yep. Anyway, you did do a good job. Anyone else like to speak? Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
Gene Walsh, 30-30198 Zachary Taylor Court. At Independence, I've been a resident there for almost 14 years. I just had a question for the developer, if they could share with me whether or not the annexation will be natural gas, or they will be under the current agreement with Pors Propane.
All right, well, we'll get that answer for you. That sounds like a question for Mr. Gordy, maybe. You want to come answer the lady's question for us?
So, Ben Gordy representing the applicant. As far as we know now, it'll probably be an extension of the propane. I'm not sure if natural gas has fully made its way there yet.
Okay.
So.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Who's next? I think I saw another hand over here. No? Anyone else like to speak?
Hi, my name is Jerry Baker. I'm a resident on 3191 Ethan Allen Court. As you gather, communication from our HOA has not been tip-top. What I think what we're asking is, we've heard, oh, we're going to try. We'll see if we can. We looked into it. We're not going to do it. It's that simple. So what we're asking for is step up, commit to what you're going to do, and put it in writing where we have something that we can battle with instead of everything being verbal. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, who's next? Okay, going once. Now let me, this is how this works is I'm gonna go to the electronic version. You're done. If you get a good idea, too late. Now is your chance to speak, okay?
So if there's anybody out there that's holding something back, now's the time to let it fly. Okay, we are done in the room. Operator, is there anyone standing by who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to subdivision 2021-30 Independence Phase 13?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. I have Ashley on the line. Ashley, your line is open.
Hi, my name is Ashley. I'm an employee with Suffolk County Jet Testing the line.
Okay, Ashley, we hear you loud and clear. It's good to know the line is open. Thank you. Okay, operator, is there anyone else standing by? We actually have to do that every time. Operator, is there anybody else standing by?
If there is anyone else on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. I have Lee on the line. Please state your name before making your comment.
And please turn down whatever you're listening to this on.
Please turn your computer or whatever you're listening to us on down so we can hear you. Lee, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, would you give us your name, please, and your full name, and you may have the floor.
Yes, thank you. I'm Lee Shorter. I'm here with my wife, Barbara Shorter. We live at 29616 Patrick Henry Circle.
Okay.
And I wanted to bring to the attention that one of the items that we're waiting for repair, I think Harvey Johnson had brought up, which was a significant number of houses on Patrick Henry and Abigail Adams who have a water problem in terms of drainage, whale creation. I think Mr. Johnson had brought that up earlier. We'd like to see some forward movement on that. We've been waiting a couple of years for that to happen. Before the new development is done, we know that there are measurements being taken now, but we don't have any idea of when repair work will start. I wanted to bring that forward. There's a number of houses, as I said earlier, along this line have the same problem.
All right, sir. Anything else?
That's all.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Operator, is there anyone else standing by?
If there is anyone else who has joined recently on the line, if you would like to make a comment in favor or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. Okay, we have a user. Please state your name and address before making your comment.
Yes, my name is Ralph. Yes, my name is Ralph Hawthorne. I live on 29151 Abigail Adams Drive. I'm on that lot 274, which is right next to where they're going to put the new road work. My concern is basically what everyone else has said, is that this street, Abigail Adams, is not was completed. There wasn't all that much traffic going to be going by. The big thing is the road in there, to me, is insufficient to carry an additional load. It's only 20 feet. To between 20 and 21 feet wide. I see the new development, the plan shows 24 feet wide, which would have been an improvement. I just don't see that you're going to be able to handle the additional emergency vehicles getting in there, fire trucks, and anything else. And as everyone else has stated, there are drainage problems, which the builder hasn't resolved yet. And I just don't have any faith in them resolving them. That's basically what I have to say. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Operator, is there anyone else who would like to speak?
At this time, there is no one else on the line who has indicated they would like to speak.
Okay. Anyone else on the commission have any questions?
Just real quick, just to get on the record. Mr. Lardner, do you mind? You're usually an expert on the ways water run. And as far as on these lots.
Downhill.
Yeah. So, but.
Les is pumped.
And so
Friday, now you're a plumber.
Yeah. So anyway, how is this going to be designed so that the people on Abigail Adams Road aren't getting any more water on there?
So this subdivision designed so that all the water generated from this application will drain to the stormwater pond right here. And then I don't know all the exact details yet of this pond. We're still in the preliminary stages of whether it's going to infiltrate or it may discharge into Duddits right away with their permission. But right now, it is not going to back discharge into the Independence. It'll be its own storm management facilities. So there'll be no additional runoff into the existing community or Abigail Adams Drive.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? Mr. Gordy, would you mind stepping up to the podium just for a second, please? We have spent a good deal of time this evening receiving testimony with a lot of folks that are confessing sins that I think might belong to you. Now, everyone on this commission knows that there are always extenuating circumstances. All I want to ask you to do is to take heed of what these people have said this evening, and please ask whomever needs to be asked in your organization to try to address some of these issues, to make a good faith effort to try to address some of these issues as quickly as possible. Will you do that for me?
Yes. I can give you an update on some of that stuff if you want.
I would go right ahead.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
So the final paving, obviously, we wait until most home construction is mostly completed just to keep that construction traffic off of finished road. So Independence is 12 phases now. We've got the top coat done on 8, so there's 4 phases left. Typically, the road as-builts are done after the fact. So once you generate your punch list, do your concrete repairs, your asphalt repairs, and your top coat of paving, that's when the as-built's done. Since this has it's a swale community with driveway pipes, there were a couple earlier phases where the as-built identified that a driveway pipe needed to be adjusted. So county engineering thought, hey, why don't you guys do the as-built beforehand? So we sent a surveyor out. They've as-built the remaining 4 phases. And the thought of that is to look at driveway pipes now, figure out if anything needs to be adjusted so that can be done before it's top coated and finished. So we have all that as-built all those as-builts back. We're looking at what adjustments we need to make. We'll schedule the inspection with the county inspector to identify what areas of concrete and paving need to be patched. And our plan is to finish all those phases, regardless of what happens here. We want to finish all those phases by the end of this year.
Okay. I appreciate that. And I would ask if you would, and I'm just asking you, I can't make you do this, but it's something I'm hoping you'll do. If you would be so kind as to communicate that in an email or a letter, perhaps, to the Homeowners Association, so that they have some idea of what's going to happen when, and that they can follow along. And I think maybe that'll go a long way toward improving relations here.
Yeah, I thought we did that, but if we did not, we'll make sure we do a better job of commuting. There's the HOA, and there's also called a common area committee that kind of sees this, and we've been trying to keep both those folks in the loop.
All right, sir. Thank you. Right.
So while Mr. Gordy's there, so the couple spots, or I mean the couple of people that have spoken about water in the swale or whatever, do you know what they're talking about?
Yeah, so that's actually another, it's a rear yard swale. So I think the one caller identified there were some measurements being taken. That's another area we had a surveyor as built. So we originally were just going to kind of regrade that area and try to hopefully resolve it that way. After meeting with the Sussex Conservation District, they asked us, hey, can you get the design engineer involved? And so we basically, land design was the original design engineer. We got them to kind of look at what they could do. We as-built did everything. So now we're kind of looking at how to solve this once and for all. So that's another item that's in the works
when,
and we hope to resolve.
Do you have any idea when you think that'll be resolved?
My hope is we get a plan within the next month or so, and obviously it's probably not a good time to grow grass, so we may push this and finish this work in the fall of this year.
So it's like standing water in a swale?
Yeah, it's a swale. Yeah, the swale definitely needs to be either regraded, or I don't know if it was rutted up or if it just was a bad design or whatnot. But
and then are you familiar with the what they're referring to as the dump site, the concrete washout, and it?
Yes, yes. So it's basically, yeah, it's stuff. Basically it's an area that is kind of used for basically construction debris while the remaining houses. So once these remaining houses are completed, we're going to get rid of that, and we're fine if you want to place a commission or condition saying that any future stockpiling, dumping area, whatever, however you want to word it, is only located in phase 13.
So when do you, these are the other houses you're talking about, like about when do you see that happening? So we can just give these people general
idea. I believe they're in the final stages. So within the next couple months, they should be done. So that cleanup should be happening soon.
So hopefully mid to the end of the summer, you'll have that be cleaned up.
Yes.
Can you also just take a look and see if there are rodents, if there are some rodents out there, if you get a rodent control
site? I'll see if we can start speeding some of that up and getting some of that stuff out of the way now.
Maybe,
yeah.
You know, that would be good. I think that was it.
Another question. I don't know if this is a question for you, but if anybody in your group knows, how far along are you in conversations with DLDOT?
We have not had any conversation with DLDOT yet about that. So.
Hold on. That's not unusual.
No, I just wanted to double check.
At this stage of the game, we are all over this entrance thing. Trust me, we got it. If we didn't hear anything else tonight, we heard that. Okay? Because we listen when people are speaking to us. Okay?
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, as soon as there's some type of approval in place, right. That's when we can make that application for a temporary construction.
I understand, and thank you for clarifying that for everybody.
We've got a couple areas, so basically if we need to shift it one way or the other, we're happy to do so. We'd rather have the construction entrance still.
That would make sense to
But that's the only way to do this. Yeah. I mean, I agree. It shouldn't happen if they don't do that.
Right.
I mean, because that's just the... it's going to be a safety hazard and tear up the streets for everybody. It's just, and I can't imagine that DLDOT is not going to see the wisdom of that, but we never know.
Right.
So, it's up to them. All right, sir. Thank you very much. Commissioners, any further questions?
Mr. Mayor? No, sir.
Everybody good? Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before we close the public hearing, just let me thank you all for being here. You've been very, very patient, and we appreciate that. And when I close the public hearing, you are all going to want to get up and leave, okay? But you're also going to get up and start talking, okay? We have four more public hearings, okay? So we're going to keep going. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you, if you're welcome to stay to see if we make a decision this evening, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. But when you get up, if you would just leave as quickly and quietly as you can, because we're going right into the next public hearing, okay? All right, thank you all. We'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision this evening, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you.
Thank you.